Good morning. Hi, it's good to be here. Am I turned on? Perfect. I want to start this morning by telling a story. It begins 2,500 years ago, so quite recently. And it's about a king called King Solomon, who lived in Jerusalem. And when he first became king, God had a conversation with him and made him an offer and said to him, "What do you want? Ask for anything you want and I shall give it to you." I don't know about you, but I'd love to be asked that question by God. That would be a great question to have that offer on the table. Would be absolutely amazing. I'm not sure what you would say. Maybe you'd ask for a bigger house, a faster car, maybe one of those Teslas. They look quite cool. Money, fame. Back then, kings wanted three things. They wanted more wealth, more possessions, and more honor. But King Solomon was different to other people. Instead of asking for any of those three things, he asked for wisdom and he asked for knowledge. I think God was quite impressed with that, and he decided to not just make Solomon the wisest person ever to live, but to also to give him the wealth, the honor, and the possessions that he hadn't asked for, and to make him one of the greatest kings to ever live. And there wasn't any social media back then. There was no Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, but knowledge about his wisdom began to go viral, and it began to spread through the deserts and through the cities, and eventually made its way into this distant land, miles and miles away, in a place called Sheba, where there was a queen. And it made its way into this land, into this palace, and into the ears of the Queen of Sheba. And she decided to do something. Rather than become jealous that there was a king more famous than she was, a monarch more famous than she was, she decided to do some investigating and find out, are the rumors true? Is this guy just as wise as people think? So she began to prepare. I don't know what you do when you go around someone's house. Maybe you take some chocolates or some flowers or a bottle or something. What she did was she gathered all of her camels and she put bags on the back of each of her camels and she filled those bags up with gold, with valuable stones, with spices. And then she also did something mentally. She began to prepare her brain, began to think of questions. What can I ask this guy? What kind of things can I ask the wisest king to ever live? So she began to prepare, and eventually when she was ready, she headed off to this distant land, to Jerusalem, to meet this king. Now, we don't know where Sheba is, but when Jesus spoke about the Queen of Sheba's visit to King Solomon, he said that she came from the utmost parts of the earth to visit him. And when she eventually got there, King Solomon welcomed her and showed her the great temple that he had built for God, and showed him this great palace that he had built for himself. And then they sat down somewhere quiet, and began to have a conversation. And she began to ask all of the questions that were on her heart. One by one, she would ask each question, and Solomon was answering each one, one by one. And it says that she talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain. Wouldn't you love an opportunity like that, just to be able to sit down and ask someone all those deep questions that you have about the universe, about life, about God, about faith, about space? I'm not sure what kind of questions she would have asked. Maybe, why does the sun rise in the east? What's the meaning of life? Why does circular pizza arrive in square boxes? What happens when you sneeze with your eyes open? You know, those deep questions. But she has some deep questions, and she sat down with the wisest man that God had ever put on this earth. And it said that she was overwhelmed because his wisdom far exceeded the expectations that she had. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. There had never been such spices as those that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. See, she was wise as well. She didn't give the gifts as soon as she arrived. She wanted to make sure that the rumors are true and check that this guy actually was wise. And once she had her expectations met, and once she was overwhelmed by his wisdom, she then got out the gold, got out the spices, and got out the precious stones. And then we get to it's one of the most impactful verses in the Bible. It's one of those, like, blink and you miss it, throwaway lines, one of these small details. But it says that he gave her more than she had brought to him. So when she left King Solomon's palace, when she left King Solomon's presence, she left with more than she came with. So those camels were probably thinking and looking forward to an easy ride back, but instead they were actually leaving with more than the first journey, more than they came with. It says that he gave her more than she had brought to him. And not only was she leaving with more valuable possessions, she was also leaving with wisdom and more knowledge that God had used to build her up with. I think that's a great picture. And maybe you have a friend like King Solomon who, wherever you go around, you leave with gold and stones and valuable possessions. Maybe you have a friend like that. But I think we all know people like King Solomon where whenever you go around and whenever you speak to them, you always leave feeling encouraged, or you always leave feeling motivated, or you always leave feeling refreshed and optimistic and hopeful. And God has created 7, almost 8 billion human beings, and God has surrounded us with a multitude of people, people that we work with, people we socialize with, people we go to church with, friends and family, and his plan for us is to be a blessing to those who are around us. And the question that I want to look at this morning and focus in on is, how can we be like Solomon? How can we be the type of people that when people come to us, they leave feeling like they have more? That God has used us to be a blessing to other people. This isn't about making people feel like they owe you or leaving your presence feeling like they're in debt to you. I think when the Queen of Sheba left King Solomon's palace, she didn't leave feeling that she was now in debt to him. I think she left feeling like God had blessed her through him. So the question I want to look at this morning is, how can we, like Solomon, be the kind of people that when people meet us and speak to us, they leave our presence feeling like they're leaving with more than they came with? And we're going through this series at the moment in Ephesians. And there's a verse in Ephesians 4 that I think answers this question. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." So do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. It seems like a lot of people, when John was asking, doing that survey about toys, a lot of people said that they liked Lego, that Lego was one of their favorite toys. And for me, it definitely was growing up one of my favorite things to play with. And what God is saying here in Ephesians 4 verse 29 is that our words can build other people up. So our words are like building blocks, they're like bricks, they're like Lego. And God can use our words to do construction in the lives of other people to build them up. And I want to look at some practical examples this morning, things that we can do to build up those who are around us, to build something in the lives of those who are around us. So in Ephesians 4, I'll just read it again, in verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Do you know the needs of the people who are around you? Do you know what the people who are around you are going through? Do you know their needs? And it starts with a question like, how are you? And often when people are asked that question, the response is all right or not too bad. And we need to go deeper and begin to ask questions and see how people are doing. Check in on the people who are around you. Show that you're there for them, that you want to share life with them, that you want to encourage them. You know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. And I think we need to honor that ratio when it comes to our conversations and when working out the needs of those who are around us, that we need to be doing more listening and a little less speaking. I know I like to think of things in percentages, and right now in this conversation, it's 100% me doing the talking and 0% you doing the talking. I'm not normally this talkative, so I apologize that I'm chatting away right now. But when it comes to conversations and when it comes to finding out the needs of those around us, we shouldn't be dominating the conversation. We should be there for other people, listening to what they're going through. So do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I think a good place to start is this word empathy, having empathy for those who are around you. Empathy just means being aware of the emotions that people have, what people are going through. So it means that if someone shares a problem with you, rather than just shrugging and be like, that's nothing compared to what I'm going through, we should try and have empathy and try and feel what is it that they're going through. Because a small problem for you may be a big problem for someone else. So we can't belittle the problems that people are going through. So yeah, get to know the needs of those who are around you. I think the next thing we can do to help build up those who are among us is to be happy to see people. Don't you just love someone who shouts your name in a high-pitched voice when they see you and then runs towards you with their arms up in the air to give you a hug? I love people like that. It's hard to not like someone who is always happy to see you. It's hard not to like someone like that. And I don't know, that's something that I want to become more. I want to work on that and become more happy to see people. It's not about always being happy, but it's about always being happy to see those who God has put in your life. When Paul often started or finished some of his letters, he would often say, "I thank God every time I think of you." Isn't that a wonderful thing to say to someone? "I thank God every time I think of you." He was happy to see people. And I challenge you and I challenge myself to say that more to people. Maybe text someone after the service. Maybe say that to the person next to you. "I thank God every time I think of you." We need to be happy to see those who are around us. Another thing we can do, it says in Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Only what is helpful. So the sole purpose of our words should be to build up those who are among us. The sole purpose of our words should be to construct and build something in the lives of those who are around us, who are among us. Only what is helpful for building others up. My friend Luke has this quote that he likes to say, that small minds talk about people, average minds talk about events, and great minds talk about ideas. I think that's a great quote because we need to move away from conversations that are surface level. It's great talking about football results and it's great talking about the latest film that we saw, but these are surface level conversations. And sometimes we need to go a bit deeper and talk about things that have more substance and have more meaning. There's a lot of people in this world that are going through tough times. A lot of people are disillusioned with the world that we live in, through what world leaders are doing, the wars that are happening. And we need to have deeper conversations. We need to be open to having deeper conversations with those who are among us. And the sole purpose of our words should be to build people up in only what is helpful. Only what is helpful. So tell those who you know what you like about them, what you think they're good at, and stop there. Not everything has to be about constructive feedback. Sometimes we just need to be positive and say positive things into the lives of people. I was playing badminton with my friend Tim during the week, and I'm not very good. He's not very good, but we're getting there. And we're playing during the week again. And it was a lot of fun. But when we were playing, whenever I made like a good hit or did something impressive, which wasn't very often, Tim would always say something like, "Well done," or "Good shot," or "I didn't think you were going to get that." And I was taken back by that. I was not expecting to have such positivity sent back my direction. And I started doing the same to him. And we were building each other up. We were encouraging one another. And I think that's what we need to do in life. We need to be there for other people, not just saying positive things, but shouting positive things into the lives of other people. Sometimes we need to crank up the volume and turn it up and get loud in terms of being positive with the people who are among us. I think another thing we can do is to be persistent. You know, in building things, it takes time. I work in London and there's always a skyscraper going up. There's always another glass tower ascending to the skies. It takes about 2 years sometimes to build one of these buildings. There's always another crane, there's always some construction. It takes a plan to build something like this. It takes investment, resources, blueprints. It takes time and energy to build something. St. Paul's Cathedral took 10 years just the planning and 40 years to build. And when it comes to building up those who are around us, it takes persistence. When 1 Corinthians 13 describes the word love, the first word it uses to describe the word love is what? It's patience. Love is patient. And in building up those who are around us, we need to have patience and persistence. And maybe this morning you feel like you want to build up those who are around you, but you don't have much to offer. Or maybe you feel that you need to be the one who's being built up. And I have a few things I want to say this morning. First of all, That God has given us so much. He's given you, first of all, a body, and maybe your body is strong, or maybe your body is feeling weak. But it says that Christ strengthens us in the scripture. We can do all things through Christ who is strengthening us. On top of that, we have a God who loves us. And the prophet Jeremiah describes it this way. He says that God has an everlasting life for, an everlasting love for us. So you can go into any situation, any room, any face, any uncertainty, knowing that you have a God who loves you. So not only do you have this, we have this spiritual strength, not only do we have a heavenly Father who loves us, but we have purpose as well. Jesus Christ has given us a purpose. There's so many people in this world who are looking for meaning, who are looking for purpose, but Christ has given us a purpose to be a bright light in this dark world that we live in. And if you're feeling this morning that you're building up other people, but there's no one there to build you up, in Proverbs 11:25 it says that he who refreshes others will be refreshed. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. If you're out there, you know, encouraging other people, and if you're trying to get to know the needs of those who are among you, if you're shouting positivity into people's lives, if you're trying to build up the lives of those who are among you, then you will be refreshed. God refreshes those who refreshes other people. When the Queen of Sheba left the presence of King Solomon, she left with more than she came with. And in the same way, when we leave Christ's presence, we always leave with more than we came with. We always leave with Christ's presence with more than we came with, because Christ is building us up. Whenever we're with Christ, he's always building us up and doing a great work inside of us so that we can go out into the world and we can be a bright light in this dark place. Thank you for listening. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a plan for us, that your plan for us is to be this bright light in the dark world that we live in. I thank you for this love that you have for us, an everlasting love. I thank you for this purpose you've given us. I thank you for the strength that you give us. And I thank you that you have surrounded us with so many people, that there's a great number of people who we work with, who we socialize with, who we come to church with, who are in our family and our friends. And Father, I pray that you will encourage us to first of all get to know the needs of those who are around us, and then to be a positive influence in their life, to build them up in the way that Ephesians 4:29 tells us, to get to know the needs of other people, to build them up, and say only what is helpful to them. Father, I pray for the energy to be persistent. I pray for the encouragement and the motivation to do this. Thank you for your great love that you have for us, Jesus. Thank you that you died for us, that you didn't leave us where we were, that you came after us and you rescued us. Amen.